I could just briefly introduce Ross Brown, the Green Party in Northern Ireland European candidate. Many of you here will know him well, but from my own point of view, I can certainly commend Ross Brown to the party and to the electorate. He's behind the scenes, he's been the driving force behind much of the work that I've done in the Assembly, providing the research for my speeches and indeed coming up with the ideas that have led to motions and the invaluable work he's done on my private members bill. He's behind our new website, which is launching today as well. He's put an immense amount of work in, and I know he was up late last night finalising it. He's a hard worker. I mean, I think that's clear to anyone who works with him, and he makes the rest of us work harder, which doesn't always make him popular, but didn't put us off enough that we still chose him as our European candidate. I think he's going to prove today as well, and he has done at past conferences how good a speaker he is, and obviously we know how important that is for a candidate. And I'm pleased now he's beginning the journey that I made from researcher to European candidate, and hopefully ultimately to elected representative for the Green Party working for the common good. Please welcome Ross Brown.
Thanks very much, folks. I just want to double check before we begin, because I've been told about this, the laptop perhaps blocking out the camera shots at the back, and I just wanted to find out, is it okay, or it's okay? Yeah, okay. Thanks very much, Stephen, for the introduction, and thank you, conference. I'm delighted to speak here today and honoured to be given the opportunity to represent the Green Party in the upcoming European elections in Northern Ireland. I'd like to use this opportunity to really introduce myself and to tell you a bit more about me and how I ended up as your candidate for Europe, why I'm involved in the Green Party, and lastly, how I discovered the wonderful values of this party. I'd also like to tell you a bit more about what makes the Greens different, why our voice is important, and why we're working to change Europe for the common good. I was born and raised in East Belfast, and I'm from a family with a Protestant background. Throughout my childhood, and before the 1998 agreement was signed, as everyone is well aware, Northern Ireland was a very unstable place. Although I was raised in a suburban area, and wasn't directly affected in any way by the Troubles, I was very aware of what was going on, and particularly given my own fascination with the world around me. I was brought into a society which was, and in many cases still is, broken, bitter, and staunchly divided. Northern Ireland remains a place where prejudices are deeply ingrained. As a young person, I was exposed to these prejudices every day, and the them versus us attitude in the world around me. I attended state or Protestant schools, I went to Scouts and Sunday School in the local churches. I played with the other kids in my street and neighbourhood, and I went to local youth clubs. I also went and supported the local football team. I went with my friends to the bonfire or to see the bands in July. Even though my family are good people who tried their best to raise me as a tolerant, open-minded individual, like everyone from their generation in Northern Ireland, living in such anxious times, they too had their own opinions. Traditionally, unionist communities have suffered from a siege mentality. And as I grew older, I of course studied history at school, like everyone, and learned about why Northern Ireland was such a divided place. But instead of adjusting my prejudices to reflect this new knowledge and understanding of the world, I searched for reasons to reinforce them. The cultural and political insecurity of the community I was from was bolstered by my own personal insecurities, about my own identity and my acceptance among my peers as a young person growing up. I wanted a distinct identity. I wanted to belong. I wanted to feel like I was from a community. My way of dealing with this was to seek out everything British, Protestant, Unionist, Loyalist and Ulster Scot and to adopt it as my own. I became a flag-waving Unionist, a for Queen and Country cheerleader. I did my 5th year work experience with the DUP and even ran for a mock school election and won as a DUP candidate. My understanding of what was British was also reinforced through rejection of everything else, especially Irish. I developed fear of the other. I am ashamed to say that this led me to becoming prejudiced and intolerant of others, and not just people from the nationalist community. I'll never forget the anxiety I felt, for example, in my first months at Queen's University, when I saw so many people wearing Gaelic and Celtic shirts. Thankfully, my journey through university profoundly changed my life. Engaging in really critical thinking started to open up my mind, alongside, of course, all the partying. 3 of the most life-changing events happened to me while I was going through university. The first was the year I spent living and working as an assistant economist for the European economics team at the Treasury in London. This year proved to be such an eye-opening and worldly experience. Because of the multicultural nature of the city, where basically everyone's from a different place or different background, and where a culture of tolerance largely prevails. In my team of 9 people working at the Treasury, everyone was from a different country. The second life-changing experience was the opportunity I had to study abroad in the USA. A programme which is offered to all students at university in Northern Ireland sent us all to religiously affiliated colleges in America. I was sent to St. Anselm College, a Catholic college in New Hampshire. I'll never forget arriving at the college to be greeted by the dean of the college, Father Augustine, who was dressed in an all-black robe. Even after living in London for a year, for a boy from East Belfast, this experience had me raising my eyebrows. I'll also never forget the first students I met that year. They were 1st years who dressed up in Irish to meet me, with a flat cap and a Celtic jersey. Or my roommate who put up a tricolour on the wall for my arrival. My anxiety soon waned, however, as I settled into the role of being the Irish guy on campus. This, of course, came with many perks, like the right of admission to any party. That year, I also had a fantastic time. And during the breaks, when I met up with all the other students from all over Northern Ireland and Florida, who were all studying in different colleges in the US, all of us had similar crazy experiences. We were all eager to share our stories with people from back home who could appreciate things from our similar perspective. When I came home from these years, my eyes had been opened to the world. I was a far more open-minded and tolerant person, and I was much more comfortable with my own identity. Being exposed to the rest of the world taught me that identity is much more profound than your nationality or the traditional culture of where you're from. It's about how you relate and interact with other people, your sense of humour, the colloquialisms that you use in your language, and the values that you hold. Your culture is much more than that which is traditional from where you're from. It's the modern day interests and the hobbies that you have. In my case, for example, playing ice hockey or DJing and listening to electronic music. The food that you enjoy eating, the TV shows that you watch, or even the computer games that you play. What I came to understand is that in this part of the world, we understand identity not as it ought to be understood, but through the poisonous lens of British and Irish nationalism. We're living in a society where 2 communities living side by side hate each other, not because we're different, but because we're coming alike and want to be different. The third life-changing experience came in my final year of university, when I took a class with John Barry, who some of you may know. And for those of you who don't, John is a professor at Queen's who teaches Green political theory. Suffice to say, John was an inspiration. His class was fantastic and taught me the foundations of what I now know about green politics. Before I had John, most of my course had been in economics, which taught me about a model and how to apply it to society. John taught me to question the model. Right after John's class, I joined the Green Party, and here I am today. The reason why I'm telling you this story is because, as a Green Party candidate, I fundamentally believe that Northern Ireland needs to change direction. And not just to overcome all the huge social and environmental issues. For me, what is also crucial is that elected representatives have to truly want to overcome the legacy of the troubles, the deeply ingrained prejudices, and the deeply ingrained divisions in our society. I've also come to understand that the values of the Green Party are the antithesis of nationalism, whether it be British or Irish, or any type of nationalism for that matter. And I believe that it is the very idea of nationalism that we need to challenge, because it is illogical, irrational, and unimagined. George Orwell rightly commented, "All nationalists have the power of not seeing resemblances between similar sets of facts. A British Tory will defend self-determination in Europe and oppose it in India with no feeling of inconsistency. Actions are held to be good or bad, not in their own merits, but according to who does them. And there is almost no kind of outrage, torture, the use of hostages, forced labour, mass deportations, imprisonment without trial, forgery, assassination, the bombing of civilians, which does not change its moral colour when it is committed by our side. The nationalist does not disapprove of atrocities committed by his own side, but he has a remarkable capacity for not even hearing about them." Not only do we need to move away from the dishonest situation in Northern Ireland, where people we elect are so entrenched in defending their own side, but we need representatives in the European Parliament to transcend such divisions. I believe as Greens, we are offering that alternative. For we as a party are based on cooperation, tolerance, openness, understanding and solidarity. We are Northern Ireland's post-conflict party. And at a time when we not only face dealing with the legacy of a deeply ingrained society here, but the retreat into nationalism, the rise of right-wing populism, and the growing levels of intolerance against minorities right across Europe, we need parties like the Greens in charge. Most importantly, though, the Greens just don't talk about these values. We actively practice them as well. As a party, we are unique in demonstrating an ability to operate effectively outside of the realms of nationalism and across community, inclusive nature on an all-island, east-west basis. As a party, we are big in Europe with 48 MEPs and unique in the extent to which we work in solidarity and cooperation with Greens right across the continent for the common good. No other party has put together and adopted such a comprehensive common EU election manifesto. And as a global movement, we are unique in how we share a common vision, which is so strong that when Greens from other places come to live here, they find a home with us. Conference, I read a tweet a few weeks ago from a political commentator that said there were 5 pro-union candidates running for election in the European Parliament. There's one thing I want to declare. I am a unionist, a European unionist. Unfortunately, that tweet wasn't actually about the European Union. But for candidates in this election, this is the only union that matters. This election is not about whether Northern Ireland is in or out of the UK or Ireland. It's about electing a representative that will vote on issues that affect the lives of 500 million people, including both the UK and Ireland. I sincerely hope voters and journalists will set aside a sectarian agenda and start asking our candidates the tough questions that actually matter. The reality of where we are and where we are heading is deeply concerning. We have designed an economic, a food and a transport system, which is a system so interlinked that it is highly exposed to systemic risks, external shocks, and in the worst case scenario, as many scientists are predicting, the way we're heading, collapse. Whether we look at the peaking of maximum production of fossil fuels, the threat of antibiotic resistance, or the colony collapse of our most important pollinator, the honeybee, we are exposed. And all the while, our political leaders spend so much of their time and energy focused on arguing about flags, parades and the past. What are we doing? What are we actually doing? Canada's most famous environmental scientist, David Suzuki, described the situation like driving towards a brick wall while everyone is arguing about where to sit. So let's start to focus on the fact that we are all so connected that our faith is dependent on that of others. This is why the European Union is crucial. the world's biggest international democratic political framework containing the world's biggest economy. Fundamentally, however, Europe needs to change direction because it is not working in the interests of the common good. Greens have had some successes in Europe which have improved the lives of ordinary people. Simple things like ending roaming charges or excessive credit card charges people can of course identify with, and there have been many others like targets for various energy sources, for example. But the reality is, on the other side of this, the imposition of austerity, which has pushed millions of people into poverty, the lack of control over our financial system, the avoidance and evasion of tax and excessive wealth accumulation of those at the top, the failure to address the fact in the recent CAP reform that 80% of our common agricultural payments are going to just 20% of our farmers, and the failure to tackle climate change are just some of them. I want you to know that right across the world, it is the Green Party who are the ones challenging the status quo. What other party has representatives such as Brighton MP Caroline Lucas, who are willing to put themselves in the front line against fracking? Jose Bové, who is now one of the European Green leading candidates in this election, who has led the way for years in anti-globalisation activism in France? Or one of my good friends, Shena Sanchez, who works for the Federation of Young European Greens, originally from the Philippines, who joined the leader of her country in fasting in protest against the lack of progress in the recent negotiations, climate negotiations in Poland, of course following the recent disaster in her country. And let's not forget to mention Green MEP Philippe Lambert, who was dubbed by the Financial Times as London's dreaded bonus snatcher for all his work in capping bankers' bonuses. As a party, we are standing for change in Europe, for a platform of social justice, sustainability and solidarity. We want equality for all. We want an end to the austerity agenda imposed by the Troika. We want a green economic revolution in our economy. And we're the only party that puts ethics right at the heart of our farm and trade policies. The reality is that we are the leaders on so many issues in Europe. We're the only party actively opposing the secret TTIP, it's the trade negotiations between the US, Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, and the EU, which will give significant power to corporations and fundamentally undermine our democracy. We're the only party standing up strongly against fracking, and we're the only party leading in Europe on digital rights to ensure things like net neutrality and the protection of our digital commons. Most importantly, though, as the only party that publishes all our donations above £500, I'm proud to say this, and refuses to accept corporate donations. We're the only party in Northern Ireland that's standing up for transparency in politics, not only standing up for transparency in politics, but actively practicing it as well. As a party, democracy is one of our key principles. But democracy is a sham when it is so obviously corrupted by the influence of money. While other parties of the so-called radical moderates call for a normalisation of politics in Northern Ireland, we're the only ones who recognise that normal is not good enough. The orthodox economic model is the problem, not the solution. And we cannot settle for the low energy democracies that exist. We need to raise the temperature of politics and the level of organised popular engagement in public life. We need to make democracy more direct and more legitimate, and we need to make it work in the interests of the common good and not corporate greed. Back home, it is the Greens, as a big European political party, who are truly transcending the divide in Northern Ireland. And back home, it is us, who are the ones who recognise that the issues of intolerance, nationalism and bigotry should not only be tackled head on the surface, but that dealing with these issues requires significant and genuine long-term investment and commitment from our politicians. This is why we prioritise the underlying issues of social deprivation, unemployment and the lack of hope in our communities in order to build the foundations for a more peaceful society. This is also why the Greens are the only party in the Northern Ireland Assembly with the courage to support the vision of a secular and integrated system for our children. education system for our children. Suffice to say, I have had an absolutely fantastic time with the Green Party. When else would I have ever had the opportunity to spend a week in Helsinki with 70 other young people from different places all over Europe? I'm so lucky to have had the opportunity to get to know great people who have come to call lifelong friends here at home and right across Europe, working in the interests of a common European vision for the common good. One thing is for sure in Northern Ireland, in Ireland, in the UK and beyond, no one should be afraid to vote Green.